Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today I have Coach Deborah on with us, and she is going to be sharing with you her background. I will tell you a little bit about her credentials. She is a NASM certified personal trainer, and she is also a precision nutrition sports nutritionist. And she is going to talk with us about her journey to the stage after the age of 50. So excited you're here, Deborah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So let's start out with you just kind of telling us a little bit about your life. So where you're from, if you have kids, your family, all of that.
Sure. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I've lived here all my life. I've been married for 25 years, and we have three children. They are all grown-ups. Our oldest is married, and then our youngest is finishing his last year of college, and then our daughter is gainfully employed and making a great life for ourselves. So we're really excited. Three dogs, which I hope none of them share their presence with us here today. I work from home. I've been self-employed for about 10 years now. And my journey to fitness actually began when I was 40. So I'm, you know, here to tell all of you ladies that it's never too late to reinvent yourself, to start chasing after the who that you'd really like to become in life. My journey actually began with my sobriety journey. So that was something that, you know, I realized I needed to make a change in my life. And I would say it's probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. It's one of the hardest things I ever had to face about myself, was that drinking was no longer going to be an option for me. But I look back on that now, and I really view it as one of the best decisions I ever made after marrying my husband, of course. And I couldn't do what I do today. I couldn't have built the career that I built. I couldn't have become the athlete that I've become. I couldn't be the mom and the wife that I am if I was still drinking. So it was great that I was able to overcome that. From there, after I, you know, developed my sobriety, I decided I wanted to find my fitness again. I had been a very active young woman. I had always danced. I had been involved in tennis and sports and musical theater. Fitness was a huge part of my life when I was younger, especially before I got married. And I actually taught group exercise for about 12 years. But after we had the kids and I was building my career in corporate America, we just decided it was too much for me to keep teaching classes. So when I stopped teaching classes, I stopped working out.
Okay.
Not a lot of self-discipline.
How much of a time span was there then between the group exercise and refinding your fitness?
Well, I call it my 10-year fitness hiatus, hiatus. And I can definitely tell you that, you know, that's one of the things that spurs me on today, is it is a lot easier, as hard as it is, to stay in shape than it is to get back into shape. And I can remember my first workout back into working out. I had hired a personal trainer for the first time ever, and I was literally like almost throwing up on the floor. It was hard. But it was also so exhilarating. And I just became addicted back to that feeling of feeling fit and strong. And I'd never really done a lot of strength training as a group exercise instructor. I've always been a cardio person. So my trainer got me, you know, into, you know, weights and things like that, which I started to develop a strong body, which made me feel even stronger in my mind.
That's incredible. So I think a lot of people can sometimes find themselves along the journey once they stop that habit. Other than hiring a personal trainer, what are some things that you would recommend to people that are looking to be able to find their fitness again?
I think, I've worked with a lot of women over the years, who have been in that same position. And I think accountability is really important. And I know, especially with this COVID shutdown, that a lot of gyms being closed and people have lost their support system. And I worked out with the trainer for a couple of months, and then my husband and I started doing at home workouts. And we were able to hold each other accountable. We had a schedule. I think having a schedule and planning your workouts is important so that you make sure that you get them done each day, because life is always going to happen. So if you don't treat your workouts like any other appointment that's on your calendar, you're going to push it to the bottom of your to-do list. So I think just the accountability and having a very structured discipline schedule is very, very helpful to getting back into that habit.
Absolutely. And so when you hired the trainer, how many days a week did you start out? I know that you had said that you felt like you were going to vomit a couple times then. So would you recommend starting out just a few days a week? Is that how you did it? And then build up?
I worked out with her. I think that we worked out together 2 days a week, and then I had a plan that I could do on my own. And so
Okay.
I'm trying to remember, it was a while back, how many days I was working out. Maybe 4 days a week I was working out.
Okay. And what was your nutrition like at that time? Or was that a whole separate venture that
Well,
started?
that's a whole nother thing. We didn't really, she talked to me about nutrition, and when I told her that, I ate pretty healthy and that I ate a Nutri-Grain granola bar for breakfast every day, she just about lost her dentures. I mean, she's like, "That's 100% sugar." Like, it has the word grain in it. So that was really my idea. I grew up with the whole, I mean, I had eating disorders when I was in my teens and early 20s. And really, that kind of got exacerbated when I was an NFL cheerleader. And I was told that I was 1 pound overweight. So
Oh,
that kind of
wow.
threw me into this spiral of trying to starve myself thin. And so my idea of eating healthy was really no fat, low fat, things like that, which now I know is absolutely not the way to go.
So can you tell us, do you mind sharing a little bit about your time as an NFL cheerleader?
Well, it was back in the day, with those wonderful Kansas City Chiefs, World
Go
Series champ
Chiefs.
or World Series Super Bowl champion. But I was 16, and that's actually, they don't take them that young anymore as cheerleaders. But
Oh, wow. I
no,
didn't know
I'd
that.
always wanted, yeah, I was always wanted to be a professional dancer. So becoming a cheerleader was my dream. I mean, to be paid to dance was absolutely my dream. And I mean, I absolutely loved the experience, but at that time, there was no nutrition counseling. They gave you no physical fitness training. They just weighed you every week
Wow.
and told you if you were overweight or not. And I remember the first time they pulled me aside and told me I needed to lose weight. I was just, I'd always kind of had this kind of vision in my head that I was bigger, because I just from even when I was a child, I always felt like I was big. When I was hired, I was like, wow, I must be okay. And when they told me that, it was like validating all of my old baggage that you are fat, you're just fat. And I remember telling them, I'm like, but this is what I weighed when you hired me, so wasn't I okay then? And they're like, well, we just need you to lose. Let's lose a pound. A pound. And I know today with cheerleaders, it's a lot different. I mean, they have training and they have nutrition coaches and they have all kinds of things, but we didn't have any of that. And it was bad. I mean, it was really bad for the way I handled it. I didn't know how to handle it. And yeah.
So then fast forwarding when you started addressing your nutrition in a healthy way. Can you show us, how that whole evolution came about?
Yeah, I would say that really, I did my at-home workouts. I worked with Beachbody. I was a Beachbody coach for many years, and I did that and got in, good shape, great shape. but I never followed the nutrition plans because I was really afraid to quote unquote diet. I didn't want to put myself back into that deprivation mindset and go back into old habits. So finally, we kind of developed this portion control system. And for me, I learned a lot about, that all the food groups are healthy and that, no fat isn't the way to go, and that we do need to eat healthy fats, and we just need the right portions of things. And you know me, Amy, I'm like, I could do without my protein.
Right.
I'm like,
Or
so
at least
much
the animal
protein.
protein.
Yeah, the animal protein. So, I mean, I learned carbs aren't bad. Carbs are fine. We just need to be in the right portion. So for me, having those parameters where I could choose what I wanted to eat within some healthy guidelines, and I could make swaps if I wanted to, and if I wanted to have some chocolate, I could swap out one of my, carbs for that and do that a couple times a week. It really helped me get a healthy mindset around eating, and also not just eating everything and anything, but eating in a way that was more nutritionally sound for my body.
And then what then sparked the transition from just a general, which is great, portion control, healthy eating habits. What was the bridge that kind of sparked the interest into the competition world?
Well, I was at a point with my fitness where I didn't feel like I could go any further. I was not one of those coaches that I do a program and I show you my before pictures and then I show you my after pictures and they're so different. You're like, oh wow, I'm gonna do that program because she looks so different. I really didn't look different because I had learned to maintain that, I don't wanna go in between every program and gain my 10 pounds or my 15 pounds back. I want this to be a lifestyle, which I believe
Sure.
is a great message for, that's the message I want women to understand, is that this is a lifestyle. Dieting is an event, but living a healthy life and living at a weight that you're happy with and having good cholesterol and blood pressure, that's a lifestyle. And
Yeah.
so I was very proud that I was able to show my followers that I maintain a lifestyle. But I was kind of at that point, like I said, where I felt like, okay, I'm here, I'm kind of the same. And one of my social media friends, who is now a real life friend, thank you so much, Erin, she and I just were chatting, and she's like, you have you ever thought about competing? And I'm sure I thought about it off and on, but I never thought I had the body for it. I could tell you all the reasons why, because you already know that in my head, I've always thought I'm a big person. So I'm too big, I'm too blocky. Now I'm too old, I'm almost 50. There's all these twos reasons why that I would never be a competitor. Not to mention, I'm not even comfortable walking around the pool in my bikini, much less on a stage. So, but she just asked me that question at the right time. And I said, I'm kind of intrigued by that idea. And I explored it, and decided I want to do it. I want to, I feel amazing. I was 49 at the time. I did my first competition. No, I, yeah, I did it right. Yeah, my birthday's in December. I did it in November. So I was 50. So yeah, I was 50, almost 51, almost 51. But yeah, and I was just so surprised how, yes, my body can still improve even at this age.
That's incredible. So you did your first competition and then tell us about what that made you feel like in terms of, I know it can be kind of an addicting thing, at least
Yeah.
for myself it is. And I
Yeah.
think the same. So what after that first show, what did your journey look like?
Well, yeah, it was very addicting. I've already mentioned that I grew up with on a stage with dance and theater, and performing has always been a part of my life. So being on a stage it was just like so exciting to be back up on a stage. you know, the journey there, I enjoyed the discipline of the training. I enjoyed, you know, having a plan and seeing my body change over time. And I actually love progress pictures. I love those check-in fakes because I and you know, I'm a sicko. I'll go back all the way to my very first pick and I'll put it with this check-in pick and I'll send it to Amy. I'm like, oh wow. You know, so I'm always doing comparisons because I love to see the journey. You know, my first prep was not with Glam Girl. It was a, you know, I didn't know any different at all. I do know that, you know, looking back, I was on a super, super low calorie plan for my whole entire prep. In fact, I was working at a retail store at the time, and my boss, her sister competed, and so she knew a lot about the competition world. And you know, I would tell her what I was eating, and she would see what I was eating, and she was just like, "Deborah, I am so worried. I'm really worried about you, because that is like peak week food. That's not like everyday food." And so, and like I said, I didn't know any different. And so I'm just like, well, you know, I've got to trust my coach. I've got to follow through with this. I have to see things through. And actually, the feedback I got, you know, I took first in Masters 50, and I was really excited about that. And but I got the feedback I was too lean, that I was just, you know, I was striated, I was kind of stringy. You know, that's my word, that's not the word the coaches use, but I was too lean. Which I'm like, for me, I thought, really? I never thought that would ever be a word that was used to apply to me.
And how did you feel post-show with all of those restrictions? Because something that I heard you say as a theme was that the thing you liked about the portion control is that you were able to pick and choose your foods and you were able to swap out chocolate wasn't off limits and things like that. So, how did that look post-show? And then what was kind of, I mean, at that point, I met you in January-ish. It was like right about the new year. So right after that show, can you tell our listeners about what that post-show experience was like?
Well, I didn't have any kind of reverse diet, and so I really just kind of, I mean, I don't know how much weight I gained, but I definitely gained a handful, if not more, of weight back just because I didn't have a plan, you know. So I just went back to eating all the things that I had been missing, all those carbs. You know, I didn't have hardly any carbs on my plan, almost none. It was high fat and protein and almost no carbs. I mean, my carbs were vegetables, basically. So I kind of rebounded in that. And I think when I met you, that I can't remember my first check-in picks, but they were quite different from my stage picks.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. So in January, and it was interesting too. The thing that I noticed about your body is that your weight never really changed a ton, but your composition changed so much. You gained so much muscle and traded it out for fat, and your inches went down. I just feel like, when you had that surplus of calories, it your body responded really well because, I mean, it was almost like you were getting those newbie gains back at that point. So,
It's been really exciting. I mean, my weight was really low on stage. I think of my stage weight for my first show was like 115, which
oh, wow.
is,
I did not know that.
you know
Oh
what I
my
weigh now.
goodness.
I mean, right now I'm sitting at like 121 and a half. And so, you know, I think my second show, my stage weight was like 118. My third show at Masters, where I placed top five, nationals, was I think 119 and a half maybe. And so it's kind of interesting that as I think as I progress through competitions, my weight is going up.
Yeah, and it's actually, I mean, we had that first show together. You prepped from January to it was April in St. Louis, and you did very well. You're basically your feedback again was that you were just a little too lean. So we actually just fed you up all the way to Masters Nationals, and you your first nationals ever. I mean, getting top five is a huge honor for your first national show. And at that point, you hadn't even been competing. I mean, it was, you were like right at just a little bit past 6 months, 7 months, something
Yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's so funny because you weighed more, but if you look at your inches, I can't even remember. I think you lost like 4 inches off your waist or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that because so we kind of didn't say this, but I think you all assume or know now that I am Deborah's coach. So she just hit a new low in her waist, and she's like my waist queen when it comes to pushing beyond the limits of what she even thinks possible when it comes to the waistline. So can you share with our listeners just kind of some of the tricks that you do to shape your waistline? Because I think that those are really valuable. I know you first thought I was really crazy when I was like, no abs. We're not training any more core.
I've thought Amy was crazy on more than one occasion.
True statement.
Like I said, I trust her. And, you know, if you are with a coach that you don't trust, but yet you're being told, I must trust my coach, then I think you have to ask yourself, you know, why do I feel this way? You know, with Amy, I completely 100% trust the direction that she's always led me in. But for my waist, like I said, I'm a rectangle shape. That's just my body type. You know, we all have a body type. And I can remember when I was doing all the fitness on my own, I was just a freak about my abs. I mean, I had these ripped abs, you know, but it was blocky. And I thought, well, that's just because that's my waist. Well, what I learned is that from Amy is that when you train your obliques in particular, you are building muscle. And of course, when you're building muscle, you're building some size. And so that's one of the reasons why I had such a block waist, even though I had, you know, really ripped abs. So I haven't trained abs at all for 2 years now.
And you still have ripped abs, I might tell you. Yeah, and since I'm a data nerd, I'm just going to interject really quick because I just looked it up. It was bugging me. Mm-hmm. So your first check-in, you were at 26.6 on your waist. And then right before you got top 5 at nationals last year, you were at 24 inches. So you lost 2.5 there. And then she just measured in at 21. So she's 3 inches different than last year. And so, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted them to have that data. So you're totally right. An overdeveloped obliques, which you had a very strong core. So what are some of the techniques that you've been doing to get it down to a 21?
Well, I've been wearing my waist trainer. So that's one of the things. So let me, there's three things. The waist trainer, which is something that you wear underneath your clothes during the day for, you know, however many hours you need to be wearing it, depending upon how close you are to competition. And then I wear a weight belt when I train at the gym, and that is to keep my abs from engaging when I'm doing my lifts. So that keeps, again, that ab muscle, that abdominal muscles from developing even further. And then I started doing ab vacuums when we started doing that, like sometime last year after nationals. I think that's the it thing for me, because even when I was wearing my trainers and things like that, my waist was going down, but I was having some trouble with my lower abdominal control, and ab vacuums have really, really just helped tighten everything internal, because it works that transverse abdominal, which is inside, you know, not those external abdominal muscles that you see. It's the inside one that you really don't see. I think that's been a big difference maker.
So I will share too, I think that there's a number 4 that's kind of the sleeper that a lot of people discount, but I truly believe, just because I know that I've seen it in your waist in particular, when you eliminate artificial sweeteners, gluten and dairy, I would say your waist was like 23, like even just like a month or two ago. And then you've gone, how many weeks have you had 0 dairy, gluten, and artificial sweeteners?
It's probably been about 4 to 5 weeks, I think.
Okay. Yeah, and that's where I've noticed it going to new levels, as well.
Yes, I forgot about the food. I forgot
Yes, they
about, 'cause I'm
all
like,
synergistically work together.
I've been fighting that,
I know, I know. Those Diet Cokes, they're so good. Wait, especially when you're on prep, for a nice little treat. So why don't you share? I'm just gonna go in a totally different direction here. Can you share, because you're one of those outliers, you had briefly touched on it, but I think that it's something that we need to, put in a good light here. You were able to get quarantoned, the term that I would like to use, despite the shows getting canceled and, you patiently waiting. Can you tell us what were some things that were an integral part in keeping motivated during quarantine and during COVID? And how did you stay mentally strong when your shows got pushed back or rescheduled? Or actually, you're doing North American, so that one wasn't even your we were slated for Masters Nationals. So yeah, let's kind of tell that. Let's dive in there.
Whenever we went into quarantine, I went into probably a 2 to 2.5 week mental funk, and I kind of ate my way through that mental funk, and gained weight and wasn't feeling great. And I think part of it was just the uncertainty of not knowing. I'm a very goal-oriented person. I'm deadline driven. And so again, that's another reason why I love the prep life, is because every single workout has a meaning, has a purpose. It matters if I do it, and it matters if I don't do it. And the same thing with eating. What I'm eating matters, and what I'm not eating matters. And so I was kind of into this limbo of, oh man, this show, is it gonna happen? Is it not gonna happen? And just the uncertainty. And I let that get in my head. And then just again, chatting with Amy about it and just getting her counsel on, mindset, and the whole Glam Girl team went into a mindset challenge. And so we worked on that for like April and May, I think. And I was just able to shift my mindset. And Amy just kept telling us, for those people that stay focused during this time, you are going to really shine on stage, whenever that is this year. And so I just kept that in my mind, and just stayed focused. And all of the coaches on Glam Girl changed up the routines for all of the clients so that we could do them at home with the equipment that we had. And I'm fortunate that I've built a pretty decent home gym over the years. And so I was just able to focus. And I think even not being able to go out, I wasn't tempted to buy any of the treats that I might normally buy. And so it just, I ate what I had here at home. I only bought what I could eat. I didn't keep snacks stocked in the house. My husband does, I have to admit. So he now has his own shelf in the pantry.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I feel like the change up in the workouts too, the at-home workouts, just really helped my body train in a different way. It was very good for me mentally and physically. I made a lot of improvements.
That's awesome. So can you share with our listeners one of your, I think you have a really good tool. You have several amazing tools in that you utilize. So you have a chore board and you have a gratitude journal. Can you elaborate on those a little bit more, and how those have helped you?
Yeah, my cho I'm I like many women, I like to check things off my list. And so I have myself I did I created this way to go list, and I listed all the things that I must do, hit my macros, my plan macros, get my workout done, get my water in, get my steps in, do my ab vacuums, do my recovery, all these things. And so I was able to give myself a check every day. As trivial as
Gold
that may
star.
sound,
Yeah.
I'm sure that so many people are relating to, like, yes. So I had that, and it made me proud when I could look at it and say, wow, you've done this. That's what I really did to get back on track with my eating is, and I would send it to Amy. I'm like, okay, 10 days on plan now,
Yep.
11 days on plan. Okay, we're on a roll now. And then my gratitude journal is something that really helped me too. And just write down my affirmations, you know, write down the things I'm grateful for every single day. And sometimes it can seem like routine, but it does matter. And just helps you visualize what you're doing, why you want to keep doing it. And I mean, all the experts say that these are the things that successful people do. And so I'm like, okay, I am a successful person. I, you know, I'm going to be more successful. I'm going to take home that pro card. I am a pro. I mean, I would write these things down in my journal every day.
Love it. Yeah. And I think it's important to know that what your Enneagram is, because we are both threes and we thrive off of achievements. We're achievers. So that checkoff list is so important. So it's really important to know what motivates you. And for Deborah, that's like a really good practice for her, for sure. So you are really, really good at posing. And I wanted to have you share with the listeners what your practices are when it comes to posing. How often do you do it? How do you become such an amazing poser?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I again, pattern a lot of the things that I've done based upon those who've gone before me that are successful. And listening to so many different podcasts and interviews that Glam Girl has done on the Prep Life podcast, you know, hearing the pros talk about posing every day. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. I can pose every day. And so I keep my shoes. I actually have two pairs of shoes. I keep one pair in my gym bag and one pair in my bathroom. And so, you know, when I'm getting dressed in the morning or even getting dressed for bed at night, as my husband will be the first to tell you, he doesn't ever know what he's going to come in and see me in my high heels posing in front of the mirror.
I'm sure he doesn't mind.
No.
He probably plans it so that he walks in on that. Okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's quite a thing. So I do that. So even, you know, just running through my poses a couple times in the morning, a couple times in the evening, and then I'll take my shoes to the gym and I will pose after a working out because they have, you know, the long mirrors there. And then we do posing. Right now we're doing posing every week online with Amy or with our coach. And so that's a 30-minute session. And I have to tell you, that's a workout. That is hard. If anyone thinks that we're just up there, you know, oh, no big deal. The posing is as big a part of your workout as anything else you do.
Yeah, she's glistening at the end of it and out of breath. But she also does a really good job of practicing her ab vacuums while she poses. So
yeah.
I just wanted to also incorporate that because I don't think a lot of people realize how important it is to practice your breathing and your ab vacuuming while you're holding those poses. It makes a huge difference in how your physique displays.
Well, it's essential because that's what you're going to be doing on stage. I mean,
right.
That's what I believe anyway. And
gotta practice, you know, like you play.
Yeah. And when you pose, you sometimes forget to breathe anyway. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's good to practice breathing in that ab vacuum position so that you know how it's going to feel when you're on stage.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of things that I was wondering if you could share with our listeners just on maybe some things that you learned through doing the various types of testing. Because you've been through the EMG testing where we test the activation of your glute and your hamstring. And then you also have done our Fit 3D scanner every time you come to the Glam Lab. So can you share with our listeners any kind of things that you've learned from, you know, acquiring that data?
Yeah, I think that that's the thing that I really, really love about how we train is that every single program is so incredibly unique. And that's what we did with the EMG testing. We put the EMG monitors on my quads and on my hamstrings. And we learned that while there's many, many great hamstring exercises, there are some that aren't so great for me because for me, I don't need to work my quads. And so there were some hamstring and glute exercises that we were doing that I was really quad dominant on, and it was really working my quads and not my glutes and hamstrings. So that really helped us fine tune what we wanted to accomplish, which is build not build up the quads anymore and keep building that glute hamstring tie-in. And again, my glute routine is completely different than my teammates. So I really like that. As far as the Glam Lab and all of those statistics, for me, it's so interesting because I always want Amy to give me a weight goal because, again, that's my old, old baggage of, weight is how we define our success.
Right.
She never does.
I know. I'm such a stinker. I'm like, well, we don't have that goal. It's a waist goal season.
And I see other unicorns that have weight goals. But
and that's
I'm
appropriate
not that
for them.
Unicorn.
Yeah,
I
because
my own.
So if somebody needs weight loss, but like you, we've mentioned earlier, you come out very lean, and so we want to make sure that your inches are coming down so that we have the proper percent of body fat for you is more realistic.
That's why the Glam Lab, the scans are so important for me, and I think for anybody, is because body fat was my key measure, body fat in inches. And so even though, like, I could go and my weight is a certain weight, I could see that I am increasing my lean muscle mass and decreasing my body fat. So that is the success that we're wanting to see happen in my body composition. So that was really, I didn't have that in my first prep. That was a big game changer for me once I started working with Glam Girl, is just getting all of those metrics into play.
Yeah, when we first started meeting, I was at the time doing skin calipers with you. So I was doing your pinches and your inches. I was measuring with you with the measuring tape. And I remember you kept saying, I'm not losing weight. And literally, you weighed the exact same, I mean, for months, but your inches kept coming down. I think that it would have been really discouraging, if we're looking at that situation. And I mean, if you're used to the scale being your feedback and the scale just not changing, that's why it's so important, and I like how you do the side by sides on the pictures too, because that's another great measurement tool as well. So, and I really like the post that you put today. You guys will have to check out the Instagram Deborah did regarding progress photos and things like that. So any tips for our listeners on taking good progress pictures? I think you're really good at that.
Well, read the post that I did. But yeah, I think for me, like, I have in my house, finding the right light was really important. And so I typically will take my pictures after the sun has come up, because I found that when I would take them at 0:30 in the morning, there was just, it was artificial light and I'd have shadows and things like that. And then just against a plain wall, I have some pictures I've sent Amy against kind of my door, and I think they look good. They're really nice because it's almost like a soft filter because the light's kind of soft. But when I put myself on that same day against my plain wall, the cuts and the formations of my muscles are so much more apparent. So now I'm not sending those softly lit backlit pictures anymore.
Yeah, and I've been appreciating when we FaceTime to do your posing sessions every week. It's nice to actually have a plain background too when you're posing with me. So when I take a screenshot and I kind of show you a tweak that I made, it's just easier to see it and to learn from just those little fine details. So switching complete gears, because this is something that I think a lot of our listeners, maybe not right now, since travel hasn't been like a huge thing during a pandemic, obviously. But once things start opening back up, I think that you have some really good experience in traveling and staying on prep. I believe you even went on a cruise. You might have been 4 weeks out, 2 weeks out. I don't even know. It was really close to a show. And you seem to always lose weight on vacation. So can you share with our listeners how to travel fit living the prep life?
I went on that cruise last March, and our St. Louis regional show was in April. So that's how close it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So So that's been really interesting. That was probably my first trip on prep. And my husband and I, we love to travel. That's kind of our big why. You know, we're empty nesters now. That's a big part of our life, what we like to do together. And I have to admit, when I go on a cruise, I like to take advantage of all the buffets and the desserts and just go a little, you know, have dessert with every meal. Chocolate melting cake is my favorite, all these things. And so going on that first cruise, that first vacation on prep, it was kind of like going on my first vacation after I stopped drinking. You know, at first I'm thinking, well, how am I going to have fun? How am I going to have fun? How am I going to socialize? How am I going to do all these things? And so I just went really prepared. I took a travel scale so that I could weigh myself every day because for me, that's one way that it's, again, it's like accountability. I know if I'm going to step on that scale every day that I need to, I'm not going to wait until I get back from the cruise and step on the scale. I'm going to step on it so that I know where I'm at. I took a lot of my food with me. And then I just thought ahead and I talked to my husband about it, about what would be on the buffets and things like that. So, you know, boiled eggs, I'm trying to think what else I had at the buffet, vegetables, things like that. And then at dinner, no dessert. I didn't have any dessert. I just ordered, if I needed to, I would order, you know, off the menu and just ask for some grilled chicken and things like that. So I planned ahead. And when we went on excursions, you know, I had my little kit of food I brought with me. I had some protein bars, I had some meat sticks and things like that. So just really good planning ahead. And I did, I lost weight on that trip. And again, being about 4 weeks out from competition, I needed to stay on track and I went in the direction I needed to go. Since that time, I've done, like, we took my son to his to Las Vegas last year for his 21st birthday. I've done a couple trips to Vegas. I've done a couple trips to Mexico. And I've just adopted that same mentality. Just, you know, take as much of my food as I can. I know I probably don't take as much of it as you do, Amy, because I've seen. But, you know, I will eat off the menus when I can. I will go to the, you know, the restaurant and I'll try to order as much as I can. So,
Yeah, I think you have a really balanced view on it, and you make really good, smart decisions. I remember sitting with you at dinner during our first Glam Girl retreat in Arizona for when I turned 40, and I remember we split a grilled chicken and put it on top of a salad, and I mean, that's perfect. You don't, it was great. So I think sometimes you can't stress about those things. You just have to make good choices. Obviously being 4 weeks out might look a little different than, you know, being in an improvement season, but it's a good balance to have both, for sure. So in terms of your whole journey, as far as just moving forward with your plans here, you're very, very close to, I mean, I'm ready to pick up that pro card in Pittsburgh. Is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners regarding your journey as an athlete or in regards to competitions?
I just think that for me, the coming from the background that I came from, I mean, we already know I have an addictive personality. We know that I have a tendency to overdo when it comes, you know, like with the eating disorder and things like that. So for me, this discipline lifestyle, I never thought I had the discipline to do this. Especially the eating. And number one, proving to myself that I can. And number two, proving myself that it's not awful. I mean, it really is a way of life. I mean, now, yeah, I mean, when I think about not being in prep and not, you know, kind of living this lifestyle, I really can't imagine. I mean, I can imagine a few more, you know, carbs and treats in there somewhere, but I can't imagine just having no discipline in my life anymore. I just can't.
So, can you just share? And I know this is kind of, I'm going down another rabbit hole, but you had originally, I just know this because I'm your coach, and you had originally had like a pretty structured meal plan where it was like, eat these specific foods. Is that correct? Before? Okay. And then we kind of do the hybrid where we make, you know, suggestions on good choices that are whole foods, high in fiber, complex carbohydrates, lean proteins, blah, blah, blah. But we always give the macros, right? So
yeah.
How can you share with the audience just how you've evolutionized into completely owning your macros and hitting your numbers, and just anything that you have for the viewers, or I'm sorry, not the viewers, the listeners, on tips like with using MyFitnessPal and how to transition out of meal plan rigid to a more flexible approach, but still eating in a way that benefits and fuels your body.
Yeah. I mean, when we first started, I didn't know anything about macros, which you might think is odd since I've been in the fitness world for so long, but I've never done macros ever. And so when we first started, you know, Amy's plans to me were a little bit more structured, you know, because I needed it. She would tell me, like, give me a suggested breakfast and it would have the macros. And it would have some other ideas, but she'd give me suggested breakfast. I mean, all of my meals were suggested. Again, she would give me the options, like I wanted to swap out the chicken for the fish. But as we progressed and I learned more about macros, you know, the meal plans became a lot less structured. And so now, like you said, they're, you know, I pretty much know my map, you know, you give me my macros, I will go into my fitness plow. And I'll plug those macros in for the days, you know, each day that needs to be, you know, training day or not training day. And, you know, you've given me so many options for, you know, the 3 ounces of protein or the 65, you know, grams of carbs, whatever it is. And I just plug it in. I plug in the food that I want to eat that matches those macros now.
Yeah. And it just becomes like a process, you know, just kind of transitioning. But I think that like in the beginning you'd be like, but I don't really like the taste of this food, and I was like, that's why you have the macro budget. And you've just done such a good job of, you know, evolutionizing into being able to have that food freedom so that you feel like it could be more sustainable as well. So as far as for your why, so we've kind of touched on your why for competition as an athlete. What is your why for coaching?
Well, my why for coaching is, I kind of goes back to like my statement or my mission or statement of how I live my life. And I like to say that we are all going to age, God willing, right? We're all going to age. How we age is a choice.
Yes.
And my mission is to help women understand that we don't have to accept the status quo of what a 50-year-old is like, or a 40-year-old, or any age. I mean, to me, you know, my age, my number is so separate from who I am as a person. And I that's really my mission, is to help women understand that life can just begin at this age. It doesn't have to be on the downward slope. It can be on the upward slope. You can still achieve so many things. And whether it's competing, you know, in a bodybuilding contest, or it's starting a new career, or it's, you know, taking up, you know, marathoning, whatever it is that you've always wanted to do, it's not too late. It's not too late to do that.
Yeah, I love that. So if there were some listeners out there that would want to hire you as a coach, what are some things that you offer that make you unique that in your coaching?
Well, I think I have a perspective. And so I've been there, done that with a lot of things that women are dealing with, whether it be from battles with, you know, emotional battles with food, to addictive behaviors, to just trying to fit things in into your busy lifestyle. I feel like I've walked in their shoes. Also, just I'm very hands-on when it comes to, you know, helping you stay focused and being there for you and providing that mental support. The success that you want for yourself, I want it probably even more than you do. You know, seeing my clients succeed is one of the biggest highs that I have in my day, in my life. That's why I do what I do, is to see others succeed and excel and surprise themselves.
Love that. I love that. So if they were to want to find you on Instagram, can you share what your handle is? And I will definitely put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. I'm at getfitdone.
Okay. And are there other platforms that they can reach out to you?
Sure. I'm on Facebook as Deborah Painter Basca, and I have a YouTube channel. Again, most of those are just my name, so Deborah Basca. Instagram is the only one that I chose the little catchy Get Fit Done, because I just think that if we make up our minds, we can get fit done.
Love it. And if you would like to apply for her coaching, you can visit our website, glamgirlbikini.com. Just hit the Get Started button, and then you'll have a drop-down box that will ask for your coaching preference, and Deborah is listed there. So you can go ahead and apply. We are always looking for hardworking unicorns to join this army of amazing women. So with that, this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, and you can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And I just wanted to say one last thing, Deborah. Thank you so much for being on today. I really, really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys.